This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Tracy Gregoire. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, hi.
I know this is like, it's just a little bit different to get used to the schedule once a week.
It is. It's very different. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. You are listening to The Pulse. It's 107.7. Or you can stream us live on the World Wide Web, WTPLFM.com. And it is powered by the Grant State Dairy Promotion. We are live at the Beacon Building. And I'll tell you, it is absolutely gorgeous outside.
I know.
How can you, it's just beautiful. It's like, it's almost like it's summer.
My car read 75.
Did it really?
It did, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Have you noticed on Facebook that people are talking about how many days till summer?
No,
did you see that?
I haven't.
I've seen it like two or three times. It's like 254.
Okay, don't. That'll
Isn't
just depress
that terrible?
Me. Yeah, that just depresses
me. Oh my gosh.
I can't think of that.
But we have a packed show. The studio right now is packed with people. We are going to be speaking with MHP on tap, Michael Helpley Pierce, and he brought with him a couple of guests, Carl Soderberg of Abel Ebenezer Brewery in Merrimack as well. He's joined with Peter Apostinelli, executive chef at BVI. So, Bob, let's do our intro.
It must be Thirsty Thursday because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077.
I never get tired of that.
You should see him when that goes on. It's as bright as his shirt is right now.
I had this on the charger all night.
I can tell.
Well, you know, when you were standing in line up there, I talked to Julie and I said, "You see the guy with the bright yellow shirt?" and he kind of looks at me like, "Yeah." Anyway.
He's even louder than his shirt is, believe it or not.
So, Michael, take it away. Who did you bring with us and why and what is happening?
Well, you know, I was perusing Facebook last night and I saw an interesting post from the Abel Ebenezer Brewing Company about a beer that was getting released on Friday.
Ooh.
And I'd heard some rumors about, you know, strange things with the Oompa Loompas happening behind the scene at Abel Ebenezer. And Carl, in typical military fashion, was very tight-lipped about it. And then all of a sudden we saw last night that we had a new beer coming out. So I think I'm going to not steal Carl's thunder and let him tell us the story.
Sure. So this actually goes back to the spring when John and Peter from Bedford Village Inn approached us about potentially doing a beer for them. And it's not the first time that a restaurant has come forward and asked us to do a beer. And typically we turn those down just because – you know, being a contract brewery, making that type of volume, you know, the shipyards and the smutty noses out there are much more, they're better suited to produce the volume for restaurants on that scale. But the idea that we had wasn't let's make a beer that's BVI's and make it all the time. It's let's try to combine the chefs in the kitchen and what they do with the work that we do in the brewery and try to come up with a collaborative beer, single batch. And we'll only have it available once, and if it works out, maybe we can do some collaborations in the future.
Very interesting. So now, this is Carl. This is Carl from Abel Ebenezer. Why don't you let people know where you're located and how they can find you on the web?
Abel Ebenezer Brewing is located down in Merrimack, New Hampshire, and we're at abelebenezer.com. And we self-distribute our beers across southern New Hampshire to around 53, 54 restaurants.
And how long have you been in business?
Since last summer, so about 16 months now.
Wow. So a lot of growth in a short amount of time, sounds like.
Yeah, you got to want it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to go and check out his place because Daryl and I did go. We met Michael over there one day. And it is so cute, and it's something that cute probably isn't a good word.
Probably not.
The truth is the smart breweries understand that the women are driving the trips a lot of the time, and you got to have a tasting room that the women who are associated with your customers and the women who are your customers want to come back to. So the fact that you said cute, you
so
know,
good job.
Carl may have cringed
good
a little,
job,
but
Carl.
The truth is that's exactly what he's looking
now,
for.
No, Mike, my business partner and our head brewer, he's also our interior decorator. I'm sure he'd be very happy to hear if he's – I mean, we're in the middle of a brew process right now. You might be listening, but I'm sure you'd be very happy to hear that you think it's cute.
No, I think it's great. I mean, you know, here, you know, Daryl's like, we're going to go check out the, you know, Abel Ebenezer's brewery and go meet Michael. And I'm like, I was anxious to go and see it. And, you know, and where you are, you know, with the businesses around
yeah,
and
we're kind of
you know, offices,
away.
It is, you're tucked away. And then you kind of turn the corner. And of course, it was in the summer. So you had your, you know, you had all the doors open and seating outside. It is great.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
We
and
love,
I love
doing that. That's
his beer.
It's a bit of a different, like when you drive up to Bedford Village Inn, you know, it's a beautiful property. Beautiful building, very well landscaped. We're tucked away up in an industrial park, and a lot of times people will, when they first pull in, they're not really sure, especially now that we're going into the fall and the winter and the garage doors are closed. It just looks like a warehouse from the outside, but when you come in, you know, we put a lot of work into the aesthetics of the place, so it's a nice, relaxing place out
It definitely
All
is.
I have to take my husband over, check it out. We love doing
he
that.
He will love it. Yep. He really will. Does he know of
he
his
does.
Beer?
Yeah. He does. Yep. I mentioned it the first time I was on with you because
yes.
you were mentioning it, and he had heard of it. So
who did you bring with you today, Carl?
So this is Peter. He's the executive chef at Bedford Village Inn. He was the point man that we worked at Bedford Village Inn's kitchen to kind of come up with an idea of what they would prepare for us in the kitchen and then what we would be brewing with.
So is it an event that's coming up?
So the release is tomorrow, starting at 4 p.m., and
for
we're going to release the beer at our bonfire, and it's going to be available at all outlets. It's
going to
be at
better.
The bonfire, the tavern, the dining room, and Corks.
At 4 p.m. tomorrow?
4 p.m. tomorrow is when it starts, yep. So
bonfire
line up out the door.
In front of BVI.
Yep.
Open to public? Everyone?
Correct. Yep.
No reservations needed?
Reservations for the dining room are recommended. Bonfire, tavern, Corks, first come, first serve.
All right. And that starts at 4 o'clock?
The bonfire starts a little later, about 6:30. But the beer is going to start getting poured at 4 o'clock because we're going to start that. Yep.
How exciting is that? So now, is this the first production of this beer?
It is
Carl?
The first, and well, it's the first commercial production, but we did, I believe, 6 test batches of it, which is why it takes, I mean, beer design isn't something we take lightly, and it takes months to get it right. And then you add in the other variable of working with a kitchen. You know, we're not
right.
chefs, so we kind of leaned
it's
on their
Peter's
expertise
job.
In terms of balancing flavor, and then we tried to take those flavors and find a way to balance it in a beer.
Okay, now I'm very anxious to ask you, what is the name of this beer?
Can
you tell us that right now?
Yeah,
yeah.
We announced it yesterday,
okay.
actually. It's La Mère Marianne. It's the French for the Mother Marianne. It's kind of a... You know, we put a lot of emphasis into the stories behind the names of our beers.
And I love that.
When we first met with John and Peter, one of the questions I asked them was what their favorite book was. Because if you come into our brewery, you see all the books that are up on the shelves. Mike and I love books. We pull a lot of our inspiration from books. And so I kind of wanted to do the same thing from their end. And one of the recipes in the book, the book is, you can talk more about the book than I can.
Yeah, the book is Escoffier's Guide Culinaire. And it's just kind of the backbone of the modern brigade system kitchen. And, you know, Escoffier was kind of the first guy to figure it all out and take it from, you know, mom and pop serving soup off a stove to a true restaurant.
He was like the Henry Ford of the culinary.
Exactly, yeah.
He put a process in place.
And it's, at the end of the day, it is just a cookbook. I hate saying just a cookbook, but I was able to get my hands on an English copy and found a recipe in it that uses a lot of the ingredients that Peter wanted to use in the beer. And it's Malvitz à la Mère Marianne. I don't speak French. but basically, the Escoffier named the dish after Marianne, who was the symbol that came out of the French Revolution to represent the people's plight against tyranny. And that image of Marianne is actually a symbol that still lives on to this day in France. And Marianne was the inspiration to the architect Eiffel, who designed the Statue of Liberty. So it just made for a fitting story that tied in our brand with something that meant the world's a Bedford Village Inn, and it made for a great name for a beer. So,
and there's so many ginger beers, someone had to do a Marianne beer.
That's right.
Right?
You know
what I'm saying?
Not really. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but I love Carl's beer.
Joke, sorry.
I got it.
You're with me. Someone's with me.
Over my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I think it's great when there's a story behind it, especially when you're not, you know, when you're tying it into something together. So has BVI ever done something like this before?
No, this is the first time we've done it. So it was a learning process for everybody. Really exciting though, to kind of see the way it came along the whole way, you know, from the first batch down to the one we're going to start serving tomorrow. It's pretty exciting.
And how long will you be serving that for?
Till it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, so that kind of makes it even a little more exciting. Yep. Like you got to get in there and get it before
we netted
it's gone.
Just shy of 300 gallons of it, and that's it.
And you didn't bring anything for us, right?
I know.
There's only 300 gallons of it.
Where's
it
our sample?
It doesn't get released until tomorrow.
Michael, you know, didn't tell you we're supposed to bring samples to Food for Thought.
This is okay because, you know, I'm having a barn sale tomorrow at my house. I'm right around the corner from BVI. And
all the proceeds go to the BVI.
I think we're going to go down. I got to go check that beer out.
So I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Barn sale at your house.
Beer
bonfire at BVI. There we go.
What can you tell us about the beer, Carl? Stylistically and ingredients.
Well, actually, because it started in the kitchen, so I'll let Peter talk about, I guess, where they started in the kitchen from the culinary side. So we are calling this a culinary ale. We had started with the idea of maybe trying to do seasonals, but then it turned out, you know what, let's having the brand of a culinary ale, it allows us to go any direction we want to in the future. So the design of the beer started in the kitchen. So
okay, I'm anxious to hear.
Yeah, the same way we kind of design a menu is the way I approach this. Is the food is very seasonality, seasonally focused at the Bedford Village Inn. So, you know, when we started this whole process, it was really the beginning of apple season in New England. The very first ones were starting to show up from Lull Farm, those early season apples. So we kind of wanted to go in a direction with that. But, you know, fruit beer, that's the first thing that popped in my head was a fruit beer. We don't want to do that. So how can we kind of put a savory twist on it? And things that I love with apples, you know, pork, sage, brown butter. So that's kind of the direction we took it in, is we browned up some Vermont butter, Cabot butter, with a lot of fresh sage, and then roasted down local Gravstein apples from Lull Farm, which is a really tart apple. It's kind of like a really exaggerated Granny Smith. So we roasted that down with a lot of brown sugar and molasses, and that's kind of the flavor components. And it took a while to kind of figure out where in the brewing process what was going to be used. The first batch, everything was mixed together. Then we were doing stuff in different
We actually,
areas.
Yeah, in the middle of the process, we actually we asked, because initially they had cooked all the ingredients together, and we started asking if they could piecemeal out specifically like the brown butter and the sage. They were very we figured they would do better in the boil, and then we could split out the apples. We tried the ingredients many different ways throughout different parts of the process to find where was the best balance in the beer. And even though when we were talking about it with our staff, everyone kept referring it to it as the apple beer. And after a while, I was like, it's not an apple beer. Apple is just one small piece of the pie. And actually, if you taste it, if I didn't tell you there was apple in it, you probably wouldn't be able, unless you have a very refined palate, you probably wouldn't be able to pick it out. You can probably smell it. But it's just an overall very well-balanced, smooth, creamy. We found that the brown butter added a nice creaminess to the beer.
That's nice this time of year.
It's very sessionable. It's not going to, you know, blow your hair back or knock your socks off. It's just a very easy drinking beer that pairs very well with a lot of different meals.
Now, you said you're making, you take several batches to perfect it. What happens to the rest? Are they so bad that they just get dumped? Or do you get to, are they kind of pretty good and you get to enjoy them?
It varies. Usually batches like one and two, you know, we'll, do a little sampling. And we sampled every batch with the staff at Bedford Village Inn to kind of get feedback and, you know, leverage their palates, trying to pick out flavors and what we should adjust. The later batches we did keep a growler of every batch just so we could taste test backwards to see what kinds of adjustments we were getting.
So when did this collaboration start? This wasn't just
back in the spring.
Okay. And you met how often? Like It sounds like it was pretty in-depth.
Every month or so, four to six weeks, depending on how long fermentation took and what our, I mean, it was a very busy summer for us, too. So there was not just working on this project, but also balancing all of the other stuff we were working on. Like, we just released our pumpkin ale a couple of weeks ago, and that's a big one for us. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we met every 4 weeks or so to hash out all the details, and we finally landed on a recipe that we liked.
Peter, have you do you have a background in brewing beer at all?
None at all.
So this is your first experience with it.
Exactly. I've drank a lot of beer, but this is my first time being involved in the process at all. It's pretty exciting.
So you had to probably learn a lot along the way just to kind of know what foods.
Yeah, I did a lot of reading when we first started talking about it, when John approached me about it before I even met Carl, just trying to understand the different. I mean, I know a lot about, you know, the start to finish process from a grape to wine, but beer, it was a whole new world for me. So it was pretty exciting. Just the education I gained from it, I was really excited about it.
For those listeners tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are going to go on a short break, but we are in studio with Carl Soderberg of Abel Ebenezer Brewery in Merrimack and Peter Apostinelli, the executive chef over at BVI. They're doing a collaboration. There's a new beer from Abel Ebenezer coming out tomorrow that's going to showcase for the first time tomorrow at 4 o'clock at BVI. We're going to go on a break. When we come back, I'd like to hear a little bit about the construction going on over at Bedford Village Inn. That'd be great. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me is Tracy Gregoire.
Hi, hi.
Live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And it is MHP Untapped, his segment right now. And you
brought some
guests with you. And so Peter from Bedford Village Inn over in Bedford. Now, talking about Abel Ebenezer's beer that is going to be coming out tomorrow at 4 o'clock, showcasing at your restaurant, Bedford Village Inn, what pairing are you doing?
So we're taking, every weekend we do our Wicked Weekend Burger, where we just kind of do these almost borderline obnoxious over-the-top burgers.
Daryl loves them.
Yeah, and we always try to outdo ourselves. So with the release of the beer, we're trying to incorporate the French theme and then the ingredients. So we're going to do our grilled prime burger with sage apple butter, triple cream French brie, caramelized onions, and a sunny side up egg. Is going to be on our burger tomorrow night.
That's my favorite burger with an egg. Oh, I mean, I don't eat that very often.
And,
but
there might be a little bit of truffle somewhere mixed in yet. We haven't got that far yet.
Okay,
are you going, Michael?
I am now, yeah.
Right?
I wasn't sure until about 3.5 seconds ago, but I am now.
I know how much people like those burgers with the egg on them. I have not tried them, so I'm not going to say that I like or don't like. But if feeling very adventurous and I wanted it exactly the way you said it, minus the egg.
Not a problem.
They would do that.
But, I mean, egg makes everything better. So.
Okay.
It does. Yeah. I'm telling you, the Red Arrow, we have a burger bar. And people go crazy with the burger bar.
Well, it's great. What other food has a built-in sauce?
It's true. Right? It's true. It is true. Yeah, no, people really like that. So what is happening with the construction over at Bedford Village Inn? Because you're undergoing a
our new project is the Grand. It's a hotel, 50 more guest rooms. We're going to have a cool lobby bar, pool, couple more function spaces, so it's pretty exciting. We were actually just talking about the menu for it this morning.
Ooh, that must be exciting for you.
Yeah, so we're going to do, the lobby bar is going to really kind of feature a lot of small plates is what it's going to kind of the direction.
Very smart.
Internationally themed, yeah. You know, kind of a lot of the things we were thinking about was like street foods all around the world and different things you can get. So, yeah, it's really unlike anything we've done so far. So
I'll help on the board if you need some help.
Absolutely.
So this will be an additional restaurant in this space?
Correct. Yep. This is going to be in the hotel that we're opening. So in addition to the tavern, the dining room, Corks, we're going to have the lobby bar now. Also.
And it's all on the same property?
Same property, yeah.
When is it supposed to be completed?
Beginning of June is when we're going to open.
Okay.
You know, that's actually fairly quick, really. I know you've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, they started construction the beginning of the summer. I think they started blasting out the granite, so yeah. It's about a year start to finish. It's amazing what they can do these days.
So is the tavern, the bar, that's all staying all just the way it is?
Correct.
Okay, so this will be like in addition to.
Yep.
Just adding on. Very cool.
So we're really excited. It's going to be a lot of luxury suites. The majority of the rooms are going to have fireplaces in them, so. It's going to be
and it's 50 extra rooms?
50 more rooms in the hotel, correct.
So. Very nice.
It's a pretty large expansion.
Yeah, yeah. It's
huge.
We have 14 now, so we're exponentially going up.
14 rooms?
Correct.
Yeah. I didn't realize there was only 14 rooms.
Yep.
There.
I didn't either. And when they were telling us about the project and how there was going to be a ton of draft beer selection down in the new restaurant down there, and they only had 14 rooms, I was like, that's... I thought they were a much larger hotel operation than that, but...
Yeah, the hotel's kind of always, I don't want to say second fiddle, but, you know, first and foremost, we're a dining room.
I'm sure those 14 rooms are gorgeous.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They're all
they're
suites.
They're probably the best hotel rooms you can get.
Beautiful floor-to-ceiling marble in the bathrooms, you know, poster beds, so it's really nice.
So, and those are all staying the way that
Correct.
They are as well. This is like, it's a detached building.
It's a whole
building.
Different,
right,
it's on the other side of our property.
Like, part of the property.
Is it going to follow the same feel, or is it going to be more new and modern?
No, it's going to kind of follow the same thing. We don't want to stray too far from what's worked for us for so long.
Nice. Go ahead. I was going to close the door.
Michael, how about
we have some more people in the green room. We told you it was a busy day.
It is a very busy day. Michael, you have a couple of events coming up.
I do. I absolutely do. So coming
let's
up.
Let's talk about your podcast as well.
My podcast? I have a podcast. I totally forgot about that. So we have a brand new episode live. I'm not sure if it got up yet, but it will definitely be up before the end of business today. And today is episode 74 or 75.
Good for you.
So we're, well, we kind of went through what you guys went through. We went from recording two episodes twice a month and putting out a show every week to recording once a month and putting out an episode every other week. So it was sort of, I sympathize with your trying to get back in sync with it. And sometimes I get close to recording date and I realize, oh, I'm totally out of the habit of, you know, following up with my guests and lining up all my news items. And because I do almost all the content development. So it's like, I have to have my acting here when I show up in the studio. So that's going really well. And actually, one of the events that we're doing is what we call a tap handle show takeover, where we partner up with a restaurant. Might be a good opportunity to do that with the Bedford Village Inn at some point.
Wink, wink.
Say no more. So we partnered up with the Tap House Grill, and we have six New Hampshire breweries, each bringing a beer, different beer, some really interesting stuff. We have Smut Labs is bringing a smoked peach Berliner.
Yeah.
It's that Smutty Nose's research and development arm. So they're bringing a traditional sour-style German beer that they're making with smoked peaches. We also have Flying Goose is bringing 100% wild yeast fermented IPA. Their standard IPA fermented with 100% Brettanomyces, which is different suite of flavors than you get from traditional brewer's yeast. And that is all going to be on December 7th, which is a Monday.
And that's at Tap House Grill.
And you can find the tickets for that at eventbrite.com. If you just look up Tap Handle Show Takeover, and actually if you want $5 off, use the word Tap Handle, all one word, Tap Handle, as your promo code, and that'll get you $5 off until about November 15th.
And that's at Eventbrite.
Yep. And Abel Ebenezer will actually also have their pumpkin beer homecoming on tap for this is the second year in a row that we featured homecoming in one of our December pairing dinners.
Yeah, we haven't done a lot of beer dinners, but the one we did last year with MHP at the Tap House was a really good time. It was a much smaller event last year. There was only, I think, 40 seats available.
Yeah, we sold 45 people, but there's only 40 seats.
Yeah, so this year they're opening up the entire restaurant to
cool.
the so there's going to be, and I think they'll sell it out too. It's an incredible beer dinner. It's kind of cool when you can bring in brewers from all over the state, and that's who shows up, is you get all the brewers from the different breweries across New Hampshire come in and talk about their beer. And
as far away as New London, Portsmouth, Nashua, so we've got brewers from all over the state, and we actually have a distiller as well, Gin Spirits out of Nashua. Andy Hearthcock will be doing some cocktails with his white dog.
Now, how are you guys, like, when, you know, because Peter, I'm thinking, you know, when we go to like a food show or, you know, one of those kinds of events, you know, it's kind of exciting to see what other people bring and you get to taste the other things. You guys must be like that with the beer. I mean, you know, beer's coming and like you're saying.
Oh, well, I often get involved in, not necessarily in the pairing selection, but
no,
I,
but you're
I offer
the
a little
beer.
Feedback. Oh, yeah.
You know,
but I
is
know
it exciting? Is it like, oh, what are they, you know,
oh,
they're going to
yeah.
bring this, that?
That's kind of why I pick the folks that I pick. I mean, you know, I pick the folks that I like, but I also pick the folks that I like their product, their beer. And I knew that the people we picked this time were going to bring a really interesting selection. We have so many brewers to choose from in New Hampshire. Our goal was to find folks that were going to not just bring standard issue stuff. And we also wanted folks that weren't afraid to put a little marketing effort into it, because we do want to fill the house. We don't have 40 seats to sell. We have 120. And if we can sell 60, we'll be happy. But if we can sell 120, you know, the truth is that the Tap House is one of my sponsors on my podcast, and my job as one of their sponsees is to put butts in seats. And so I really want to help them accomplish that. And I love doing these events. I don't make any money on this. We don't take a take on this. I just do this because I like bringing people together and seeing what happens.
I will say, if you sell 120, you're going to make it a nightmare for Zach and everyone else in the kitchen.
Yeah. seven plates a person times 120 people coming out of that kitchen is going to be a challenge. But you know
Peter,
what?
Peter, maybe you better go.
That's a Dan problem. That's not an MHP problem. So that's a great event we have coming up, and you can go to Eventbrite for tickets for that. And as I said, Tap Handle, all one word, is your promo code to get $5 off, and I believe that brings your ticket price down to $64 and change.
Nice.
Which, seven paired courses and actually eight drinks. So it's a steal. For the quality of food they put out for these events is just ridiculous.
And you know, each time you come, we talk about, you know, and you always, you know, you talk about some events that are coming up, and it seems like there's beer events all the time. It didn't used to be like that. This is great for you guys.
And it's not, I mean, I'm pretty plugged into the beer world, but even if you're not plugged into the beer world, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. And if you want to know how to get plugged into the beer world, I guess you just need to listen to MHP Untapped.
That's right. And how do they find it?
Right here. They're listening to it.
Well, no, MHP Untapped right now, yes.
Or you can listen to the Tap Handle Show.
The Tap Handle Show
can be found at thetaphandleshow.com, and we always have an embedded player at the top of the homepage so you can hear the most recent episode with one click of a button. We also have all of our episodes archived, so you can listen to them in, you know, chronological order, or if you want to search a certain brewer, if you want to listen to the interview we did with John Kimmick from The Alchemist, or if you want to listen to the interview we did with John Campbell from Laphroaig in Scotland, or Carl Setzer from Great Leap in Beijing, China, you can find those episodes through our search bar. And you can also find us on iTunes if you're an iTunes utilizer, and if you have an Apple device, you can just download the podcast app, which is free. It might have actually come standard download to your device, and you can just find us on there and subscribe. And that way, every time a new episode comes out, it'll automatically populate
for
you.
Do you have a newsletter that people can sign up for if they want to know about events that are coming up?
No, we do a section in the show called the Corkboard where we mention events, but because we record the show 4 to 6 weeks ahead of time, sometimes things change, and I'm not able to get last-minute stuff. That's kind of why I really enjoy this show.
Because
I can bring live stuff. I can bring the call to action on Thursday for something that's happening on Friday. Yeah. I've tossed around the idea of doing a blog right now. I don't see it in the cards with everything else that I got going on.
When you do something like that, you want to do it right.
And that's the thing. That's kind of why we went from doing it every week to every other week. We said we can either do seasons and then have breaks between seasons, or we can continue doing an every week show, but the quality is going to diminish, or we can do exactly what we're doing right now and just do it every other week instead of every week. And I would much rather have the quantity diminish than the quality.
Exactly.
So I have one other event coming up, and that's actually a week from Sunday, and that is the Hop Talks. That's put on by Hophead United, and they are on, I think they're on brown paper tickets, but if you just go to hopheadunited.com, you can find tickets there as well. This is going to be at Red Hook Brewery in Portsmouth, and it's sort of a TED Talk-style take on a brewer's event. So instead of 2,000 college kids with tribal armbands and chinstrap beards walking around and bumping into you in a giant hall with fluorescent lighting, did I put too fine a point on it for that? You're actually in a nice, comfortable setting with 100, 150 people. The brewers come up and present for 10 or 15 minutes. They tell you their story while you're drinking their beer leisurely. And you're not fighting people for long lines because there's only 100 or 200 people at the event.
Thank you so much. Thank you
guys for coming.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Peter.
No, thank you. Really,
I'm very excited to go to BVI tomorrow. I'll see all of you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be
there. And Daryl's going to love that burger. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.